NCMMA Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of NC MMA Radio. This is your host, Tyson Roush. You can follow the show, ncmmaradio.com, on Instagram and Twitter, ncmma_radio, and check out our sponsor, Headrush, headrushbrand.com. All kinds of great deals going into the holidays. In this episode, we got a great guest, and I love talking to him. It seems like every time I talk to him, he's winning fights, so he's been staying busy. It's Ryan Cafaro, CFFC 69. Ryan, it's Tyson. What's up, man?
Hey, Tyson, how you doing? Thanks for having me again on the show.
Dude, every time I talk to you, it's like you're fighting again, you're winning. What the hell? You're keeping busy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, my last fight, it was a 24-second knockout, so I just figured, you know, I'm healthy and it's time for a step up in competition, so I'll just take another fight.
Yeah, good for you, man. This is a great fight. And what are there any challenges of just fight, the quick turnaround like that? I mean, do you have a chance to, like, work on your game at all, or are you just kind of trying to maintain what you're doing?
Well, I mean, if I just maintain what I'm doing, I'm not getting better. So I constantly am having to improve and learn new things. So, you know, a lot of fighters feel like they learn better when they're out of a camp because they don't have to focus on so many specific things. But I like being in a camp because you end up learning two or three things that are permanently added to your arsenal. So, like, like when I fought Adley Edwards, we worked a lot on like certain takedowns and certain takedown defenses that now I feel like are like permanently ingrained into my system that I now have as like a permanent weapon in my arsenal.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But now, do you take time off from sparring, or do you pretty much, like, you know, a week or so, 2 weeks after your fight, do you go right back to sparring?
All right. Well, don't say anything, but I ended up sparring like the day after I fought, which was pretty fun. We're on a radio show, so everybody will know about it, but it was pretty fun actually. Cause I fought and I didn't get hit. So I was like, all right. And then one of my clients hit me up that I trained. He was like, do you want to train? I was like, you want to punch each other in the face? Cause I didn't get hit. He was like, yeah, sure. So I ended up sparring the day after, which is not the brightest decision, but it was fun. And, but yeah, normally I do take a week or two to not, you know, spar as much.
Yeah, and I guess, you, like you said, you are fortunate that your last fight ended so quickly, so no damage, you can get right back to it. And now, do you, like, as you go forward with such, like, a limited amount of, you know, tape from your last fight, do you study other fighters in this time or try to find new techniques, or how do you handle yourself trying to go forward?
Oh, what, like, as in getting ready for my next opponent?
Yep.
Well, I mean, there's tons of tape on the guy that I'm fighting because he has, you know, 19 professional fights, I think. Maybe more. I think he has 21 or something like that. He's got a lot of fights, so there's a lot of footage on him. I don't dwell on footage too much because, you know, fighters are always evolving. And so I look for habits in footage. You know, I find a couple of things that I feel like I can exploit and drill things designed to expose those. But for the most part, you know, I just watch footage. I let my coaches do most of the footage watching and come up with game plans. I just execute them.
It's working for you, man, because you're on a roll right now. And are there fighters that you
complain.
Like to – yeah, I bet not. Now, are there fighters that you like to watch try to pick up some of their tricks?
Well, I mean, it's all the guys that I train with. You know, I learned little tricks from Frankie, Eddie, Marlon. How about Marlon last night? Oh, my
awesome.
Lord.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, great.
Yeah, that was awesome. But, you know, I pick up little – usually it happens like when you're sparring, you get hit with something and you're like, ooh, I like that. I'm going to steal it. And then you just steal it. So.
Yeah. No. Like I said, you know, when you come down to Nicotones, you can see all the talent in the room. You guys, the sparring, it's like a pay-per-view just watching all of you guys. And you know, so you actually can learn a lot from them. Now, in terms of the sport itself, it seems like, you know, you watched the fights last night, the UFC fights, the sport's evolving so fast and there's so many different styles and things like that. How do you try to train everything to keep yourself sharp of everything? You got your boxing, your wrestling, the jiu-jitsu. How do you manage all your time?
It's tough. You have to, you know, do what you have to do to stay in shape year round, because if, you know, if you get tired, then you don't really have time to continue training because you're exhausted. So if you're in shape, you can keep going to all the training sessions and you can keep learning more. I mean, in my off season, I'm just constantly working. I mean, like when after I fought and I won that fight, I was already drilling and training stuff on like Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you take time to rest, and when I mean rest, I mean like just lay around like a couch potato and do nothing, then you're not gonna learn. And there's guys that are already, you know, getting back to training after you fight. You don't have time for that. There's too many disciplines to be mastered.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that we always see, like all the guys in the Iron Army that come in, whether it's Edson, Marlon, Frankie, they fight on Saturday. They're back in on Tuesday. Even Eddie Alvarez was back. I'm like, you see them, like they're all just, they're gym rats, and they know, listen, if you're sitting idle, somebody's trying to take your job or take your spot or whatever it is. So it's crazy to watch. Now, you know, as a fighter trying to climb the ladder, what are some of the challenges to try to, you know, get yourself noticed and get yourself out there so you can get attention, maybe get, you know, on the UFC's radar or something like that?
Well, hopefully a 24-second knockout with one punch will get me some attention. But, you know, I'm going to have to continue to do things to show that, you know, I'm an exciting, entertaining fighter. I thought my fight with Adley Edwards for CFFC was entertaining and exciting, but I didn't show dominance. I showed definitely a superiority on the feet in terms of my stand-up, but I felt like there was work to be done on the ground and my takedown defense. So I feel like for this fight, if I want to get noticed by the UFC, not only do I have to beat Jared Mercado, but I have to beat him in dominant and exciting fashion. So I feel like, you know, I need that trifecta of excitement, but dominance, and also, you know, that like the X factor of just, you know, doing things that wow the crowd.
Yeah, and you definitely have that, man. Like I said, the CFFC fight that we were all at, you could see like your footwork, your movement, your striking. It's very creative. That's definitely fun to watch. Now, as a fighter, like we mentioned, trying to, you know, try to get notoriety, how is social media a big thing? You see a lot of these fighters now are using Twitter or even Instagram to help garner interest, call people out, stuff like that. Do you think that's a positive, or you think it's something like a fighter should use?
Oh, 100%. If it can get you attention, then do it. I mean, I know pretty much all the guys that I follow and all the guys that I train with that are big in the UFC have strong followings on social media. You have to do what you have to do to market yourself accordingly, because, you know, if nobody can keep up with what you're doing outside of your fights, you know, if you're not fighting, then how are you going to, you know, stay relevant?
No, it's true, man. That's like the missing piece now. And you see it more and more now. I think it was kind of like, you know, Conor McGregor did it with the trash talk. Now you see guys just calling each other out. And even during the fights when they're happening, it's like there are people talking stuff. And that's just something like it's a missing part for some fighters in terms of marketing.
Well, to an extent, but I also feel like if you do it disingenuously, it just becomes obnoxious. Like, for example, if Ricky Banderas, who we both know, just started going out like, you know, you're a piece of crap and I'm going to fight you, I'm going to decimate you, we'd be like, oh, dude, this isn't you. Ricky goes out there and he clocks in, whoops ass, and clocks out. You know what I mean? So if it's not you, don't push it. You know what I mean?
Dude, it's funny you say that. I just interviewed Ricky a couple of days ago for his title fight coming up. He just said that. He's like, listen, I just want to work hard. I want to, you know, let my stats, my performances speak for themselves. He goes, it's just not natural for him. He isn't like talking. I mean, you know him. He isn't like talking, dude. So it's just like, he just wants to fight, you know, do his thing, go home to his family. So yeah, I mean, respect in that.
That's what I like about Ricky, and we got some training in for this camp, and he's looking ready to roll for his title defense. But, you know, he lets his fighting do the talking, and, you know, I plan on doing the same this Saturday. I just like to hype it up a little bit too.
Never a bad thing, dude. Hey, man, everybody, you know, like a lot of those guys, you know, like Marlon, Frankie, they're all quiet.
Yeah.
Just listen.
Right.
You know, talent will stick out, performance will stick out, and that's what – for like the diehard fans, you know, followers of the sport, that's what you look for, you know.
Right.
And you talked
exactly
about your upcoming fight, December 16th. This is a hell of a fight. And what is it like for you fighting in the CFFC, man? Because the Brigada is an excellent, you know, an excellent environment, nice venue. You know, you have all like, well, you're a commentator too sometimes, but you have Paul Felder there, dude. How do you like the CFFC?
I love it. I can't get enough of it. I mean, it's just I fought for other organizations before, and it's just that the level of professionalism and care towards the fighters is just it's there's no comparison. CFFC does it better than everybody else on the regional circuit.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. It's all you have Burt Watson back there getting everybody revved up. It's professional. It's well done. The fans sell out the place. It's always a good time. And you touched on your opponent a little earlier, Jared Mercado. What are some thoughts on this fight, man? It seems like an excellent matchup. That's an awesome opportunity for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's a strong wrestler. I think he was originally from Jersey, and now he trains out of the Elevation Fight Team in Colorado. So, you know, he comes from a very heralded team. And, you know, when I was younger, earlier in my career, I used to freak out and be like, oh, this guy trains out of this camp. Oh, this guy trains out of that camp. And I'd freak out about it. But then, you know, I took a step back and I was like, wait a minute. I literally train with the best guys in the world. So everybody else should be saying that about me. So I'm not really worried about where anybody trains anymore based on, you know, the caliber of training partners that I have.
Yeah, and do you feel any pressure? Like, you have such high goals for yourself, and you're trying to climb the ladder and get, you know, like we talked about, you want to get, you know, noticed by the UFC or like that. Do you feel any pressure going into these fights, or you're just, your mindset is just so focused on just getting the result?
I feel pressure, but, you know, pressure is a privilege to be in a situation where there is a lot of pressure around you. You know, most people don't ever get to experience that. You know, most people clock in, do a 9-to-5, and go home at night. It's not like, you know, they have this situation where everyone's going to wonder how you're going to perform and all that. So I just take it as, you know, as an honor and a privilege. And I'm just thankful that I get to even step up and compete. So I don't, I do my best to not sabotage myself.
Yeah, man. And I love your mindset, man. It's like the perfect fighter mindset, the perfect, like, you're like a good role model for like all the people that you teach and stuff. I love your mindset, man. What is your message to all your supporters?
You know, just that I'm extremely thankful for all the support, because, you know, it takes a village to really push an MMA fighter to the big leagues. You know, most guys can't do this ourselves. You know, it's expensive to train. It's expensive to, you know, buy equipment and to stay on diets and not work as much because you're training all the time. So for everybody, you know, that supported me by buying tickets or supported me financially as sponsors, you know, or, you know, just in general, I really appreciate it, and it means a lot to me from everybody that believes in me. So, you know, at the end of the day, I fight for me, but I also fight to represent the people that believe I have what it takes. And I try to, you know, think about that when I go out every time to step in the cage.
Well said, man. Well, Ryan, on behalf of Nick and myself, best of luck, man. I always appreciate you finding a few minutes to do an interview. So best of luck, man. You're an exciting fighter, and we cannot wait till December 16th.
Likewise, and thank you for having me on the show. As always, it's a pleasure.
No problem, man. Have a good day, man. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, thank you. You too, Tyson.
All right, Ryan Cafaro, big fight December 16th, CFFC 69, Pergada, Atlantic City. This kid's a must-watch. Excellent, excellent fighter. Exciting, creative striker. A lot to look forward to there. You can follow this show, ncmmaradio.com. Also, check out our sponsor, Headrush, headrushbrand.com. And we'll talk to you next time.
You've reached the Holly A helpline. We turn the holidays into Holly A's.
Hi, I want to surprise my wife and kids with some super stylish gifts.
Surprise! With all the velvet and sparkly styles you'll find at Old Navy, it's your time to shine.
Old Navy?
Yep, the entire store is up to 60% off right now.
Up to 60% off?
And women's dresses start at just $15, 12 for girls, with tops from $6 for adults, 5 for kids at Old Navy and oldnavy.com.
No surprise here. I'm going to Old Navy.
Turn your holiday into a Holly A. Get to Old Navy today. Valid 12-6 to 12-12. Excludes in-store clearance, gift cards, register lane, items today only, and two-day only deals.
Wow, nice haul.
Told ya. Macy's Backstage has perfect last-minute gifts.
With prices so low, you never need a coupon.
I scored the perfect makeup palette.
Super cute. I grabbed these cool drones for the guys.
Nice. Here's a handbag for Aunt Helen.
Found awesome toys for the kids.
Cookware for the budding chef.
Oh, and look what I got for Uncle Hank.
A puppy chew toy?
No, that's for Rex. They even have gifts for pets.
Well, you know Uncle Hank. He'd love anything we gave him.
Macy's Backstage. Savings for everyday life. Details at macysbackstage.com.